But there's a lot to be thankful for in this world. Last week we began talking about the fact in Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 that God has a plan for you. Plan to bless you, not to harm you. We talked about that a good bit last week, and yet it seems to me that there are a lot of people look at the reasons why they can't accomplish God's plan. And maybe sometimes it is persecution. Maybe sometimes it is, I don't have enough money, or I don't have enough education, or I don't know the right words. I wonder about God so many times when I look back historically, when God came to Moses and he said, you go to Pharaoh and you say, let my people go. And Moses said, but I'm not eloquent of tongue. I can't talk right. And God said, who you think made your tongue in the first place? But here comes your brother Aaron. He can speak for you. I'll tell you what to say. You tell him what to say. And we'll go from there. The other thing about Gideon, when God came to Gideon, he said, you've got to rise up and lead my people. And Gideon said, well, let me test you first. I'm going to put out a fleece. And if the fleece is wet and the ground is dry, I'll know that this is from you. And then the second time, Gideon came back and he said, well, I know the first test worked okay, but let's do it in reverse order. Let's let the ground be wet and the fleece be dry. And I know that the anger of the Lord sometimes kindles against us when we refuse to do what God has planned for us to do. He's planned to bless us. He's planned to give us a good life. He's planned for us to work in His kingdom. And there are times when we look and say, well, I've made a mistake. I can't do this. I messed up my life. I was arrested. I was addicted. I was this. I messed up my marriage. I did whatever it is that God can't use me. God can use you. And He's promised to equip you for all good works. How many of you ever had a Swiss Army knife? How many of you have ever seen a Swiss Army knife? Well, you know, Swiss Army knives are great. I haven't found them real functional for me. I've had many of them given. Now we got Leatherman tools, and I got a tool this past year as a gift that had a hatchet on it. It's just wonderful what you can put in your pocket. But the Swiss Army knife, I've always tried to saw a tree down with that little saw in there, yet I have not got a tree down. I've tried to put together things with a screwdriver, and I can't find the screwdriver and the knife. I even tried to file my nails and cut my finger off one time. Not really, but there's some of everything you can need in that knife, but sometimes it doesn't seem useful. The Word of God will thoroughly furnish you to every good work, and every bit of it is useful in your life. God is going to bless you. Now, we don't all do the same thing. We don't all have the same office. We don't all have the same function. I understand that. We don't all have the same talents, but we all have talents. We all have functions. We all have abilities that God has given us. And He's promised to equip you to do. If you're going to be a preacher, be the best preacher God wants you to be. If you're going to be a nurse in the hospital, you be the best nurse that God wants you to be or can use anywhere. If you're going to be the person that sells groceries down at the grocery store, you be the best clerk there is. And God can furnish you to be a Christian in whatever you do and to cause His word and His will to go forward. And I don't understand why it is we feel unprepared, because God said, I will thoroughly furnish you unto all good works. That's what the text says, isn't it? I will completely furnish you with what you need. Well, preacher, you don't understand how hard my burden is. You know, I don't understand what all of your burden is, but I suspect it's somewhat lighter than a cross. And some people feel like God has just forgotten them, and that too can be scary, but He said He'll never forget you. That He'll never forsake you. The fact is, if God's out of your life, it's because you left Him, not because He left you. Look at verse 17 again, because that's what we want to keep coming back to in our lesson today. That the man of God might be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. For every work of God, He's promised to equip you for what you need to do. So God's got a plan to bless you. If you're not blessed, what's the problem? God's got a plan not to harm you, so if you're harmed, what's the problem? Could it possibly be that we're not using what God has given us to accomplish His task and His purpose? In Ephesians chapter 6, we're told by Paul to put on the whole armor of God. And when you think about that, putting on the whole armor of God, in Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10, he's talking about being prepared for the battle. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of His might. You know, people go down to the gym every day and they work out and they pump iron and they go down and they run and they get up early in the morning and they get in 2 or 3 miles. Yet the Bible says bodily exercise profits little. What we need to be going after is godliness. And so when Paul talks about this whole armor of God, he says, put on all of it. Why? Where you'll be completely ready, where you'll be prepared. Verse 13, take up the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. In order for you to be able to do what God wants you to do, what God's blessed you to do, he goes on to say that you need to have your waist girded with truth. What he's talking about is that that protects the vital organs. That thick leather belt or girdle that went across the midsection. If you'll punch right here, you'll find on most of us this is a little softer than the bones. And this was a protection for the internal organs. If you want to be protected, you need to have truth on your side. God's truth. But then he said, put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect the heart and the lungs, the vital organs. Do what's right. That's not always easy to do. If somebody's asking you to lie, to cheat, to steal, they're not trying to get you to heaven. They're trying to get you to hell. If somebody says everybody else is doing it and it's against the Word of God, it's wrong. The breastplate of righteousness, doing what's right. And shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. Where you see it is the voice of Jesus that whispers peace within. That's what we need to be standing firm on. He's talking about let your army boots or let your sandals be spiked that they can hold on to what's right. And peace that passes all understanding is what prepares us for this world that has no peace. And above all things, taking on the shield of faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. That's how you withstand the darts of the evil one, the fiery darts of the evil. If Satan's going to attack you, you've got to have faith. And this world right now is attacking Christian faith every single day. And there are people, and I pray to God for you young people every day, there are people that are your age and just a little bit older that are coming to question the truths of God's Word. And if God's Word says it is true, you can count on it. It's going to make the difference in whether you go to heaven or to hell, whether God will bless you or whether you'll be condemned for all eternity. Take on the shield of faith because the attack is coming. Satan's throwing the darts and they're hitting home. And protect your brain with a helmet of salvation. God's given you all the protective gear you need. He didn't give us a baseball cap. He gave us a helmet. And that helmet is salvation. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I know that I know that I know that my Jesus died for me, and that one day He's coming to take me home. And in this battle you need the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take time to read it, to know it, to live it. Because there are times that we're going to have to go out and defend ourselves with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But verse 18 is one that amazes me. For at some point I understood that in the preparation of the Christian soldier, one of the most vital pieces of the armor is prayer. I want you to think about that. You should pray without ceasing, the Bible says. When you get up in the morning, you should pray and believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You need to ask for His intervention and direction and guidance in your life. God has a plan for you and you need to check in with Him every day. You need to give Him the honor that's His and the praise and the glory, but you also need to go to Him with a supplication and prayers, and you go with all that God has in prayer. So let me talk about 2 or 3 things. We need to be equipped for every good work when things get scary. Have you ever been scared? Ever got caught when the lights went out? You know, when I was a boy, I was tough. And when it got dark, I'd say, I'm not scared. Nothing's going to get me. I think I was trying to scare anything off that came because I was scared in the dark. In times of surgery, things get scary. In times when my faith is weak, things get weary. When I don't see the outcome, things get scary. We sing the song, Master, the Tempest is Raging. And it's based on a story found over in Mark, at least one recording's in Mark chapter 4. And I'd have you turn over there because we're going to look at several different verses in Mark chapter 4. It's an occasion where Jesus has told his disciples to set out to sea. And they're going over on the other side of the lake and they're going to land at a graveyard. It's quite an arduous trip because there comes a terrible storm. And Jesus, the master of the sea, has gone underneath and he's asleep. He comes to his disciples and he says in verse 35, "Let's cross over." Seems like a simple enough request. Let's get in the boat and go to the other side. They're fishermen. They've been in the boat many times before. But they also know the dangers of the sea and they know the dangers of the bad weather. And verse 37 says that there was a great windstorm that arose. It started after they were at sea and the waves beat the boat so that it was already filling up. That is, the boat was being about to be capsized. The water was coming in. The waves were coming over the edge of the boat and the boat was filling up, which means the boat was sinking, people, and Jesus was sleeping. And the disciples became afraid. And maybe sometimes in life you become afraid too, and you wonder what's going to happen. Where's Jesus? Is he asleep in the stern of the boat on a pillow? That's what the Bible says he was on this occasion. And so the disciples come down and they wake him up and they say, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you care that we're dying? We're in trouble here. Where are you? How can you sleep through this? We're going to die." And then verse 39, Jesus gets up. I wish I'd been there so many times as I read these Bible stories. They're so interesting to me. Jesus gets up and I wonder when he got up if he looked at the sea first or if he looked at the disciples first. But I know he says to the sea, "Peace be still. Calm down." And then he looks at the disciples and he said, "Why are you fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" God's got a plan for your life. And if you're not working the plan of God, is it because you're afraid of what others may say? Are you afraid of failure? Are you afraid of sinking? Are you afraid of drowning? Because Jesus asked the question, "Why are you fearful? Where is your faith? Trust in Him. Believe in Him." He's equipped us for everything that's going to come our way. Even the storms of life, and I know, and I would not stand here before you and suggest that there aren't some terrible storms that come our way. And it took Jesus calming the sea, and they said, "Who is he that even the winds and the waves obey him?" They feared exceedingly, the Bible said. But it seems like that things are shifting, and the shift is now they're kind of afraid of the power of God. First, they didn't recognize the power of God. Now they see the power of the Son of God, and they are exceedingly afraid, and they want to know, who is this Jesus? And maybe that's the question that you and I ought to be asking in our lives. Who is Jesus? Where is his power? What is the power that we can rest on? It seems like sometimes that the sea is raging and things are scary, and so we fail to do God's will. But he's promised that he'll be with us always, even to the end of the age. He's promised never to leave us or to forsake us. God has promised to equip us even when things seem impossible. I want you to think in your life and think what seems impossible to you. God may place before you the opportunity to go into foreign fields and to teach his word all across this country, all across the face of this globe, throughout every nation in the world. One of the great things about the College Avenue Church throughout the years has been our association with the military. We have probably sent out more missionaries, virtue of Uncle Sam's dime, than most places. Because we have been able to send out faithful Christian men who serve this country, who worship, who, I remember when Brad Smith was over in Iraq, he wrote one day and he said, "Do you have any songbooks you could send over here? We're starting a church among the soldiers." And even after he came back, there are songbooks today over in those foreign fields that are stamped with the College Avenue Church of Christ stamp on them because godly men are preaching the gospel. And you say, "Well, we can't do that." Don't limit God. Don't quench the Spirit of God. Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, when she was told that she would bear the Savior of the world, said, "How can these things be? How can I have a child seeing that I've never known a man?" But I think one of the best stories to illustrate this is found in Genesis chapter 17. It's the story of Abraham and Sarah. God comes to Abraham and he says, "As for Sarah, your wife, You shall not call her Sarai, but you shall call her Sarah, shall be her name. And I will bless her also and give her a son, and then I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations. The king of people shall be from her. And this seed promise is given to Abraham. His wife is going to have a son, but Abraham says, how can this be? Watch the progression. He falls on his face and he laughs at the plan of God because he's got too much human brain and not enough God brain. He falls on his face and he laughs and he said in his heart, shall one be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? It doesn't seem possible. Past the age of childbearing, both of us. It doesn't make any sense. And so he laughs at the plan of God. But people, you don't laugh at God because my God is able. He can do beyond what we expect of Him. Going over to Genesis chapter 18, and you're going to find that God sends His messenger again. And so the words of God come to Abraham and says, where is Sarah, your wife? Sarah, your wife, is going to have a son. In verse 9, he says. I love what the Bible says. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Can you see Sarah there with her ear listening to see what are they talking about? Have you ever tried to hear somebody on the phone trying to figure out what they're talking about? I don't know. I used to see in the movie where they put a water glass up on the wall and listen to it, see if they could hear the other side. Sarah's trying to eavesdrop on this conversation. And she hears him say she's going to have a child at the age of 90. So Sarah laughs within herself and she said, after I've grown old, I'm too old to have a child. This is impossible. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? And verse 14 is what you've got to look. Is anything too hard for the Lord? God can equip you for whatever He has planned for you. The question is, are you willing to be in God's plan? It makes no earthly sense because it's from heaven. Sarah denied it, saying, I didn't laugh because she was afraid. It reminds me of a passage where Jesus was talking over Matthew chapter 19. And they're talking about how a rich man can get into heaven and all the problems that a rich man has to get in his way. Jesus says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's pretty tough, however you figure that out. And when his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who can be saved? If it's that hard, who can be saved? But look at verse 26, because this answers the question that God asked Sarah. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Verse 26, Jesus looked at them and saying, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Where's our faith, brethren? There are things happening every day, nationally, internationally, even in the state that are scary to us. But I believe that God is still in control. I believe the Lord is still in His holy temple. And I believe that all things are possible through my Lord and my Savior. I don't always see how, I don't always know how, but I always know that it's true. You see, we're equipped for every good work. Now, I want you to look at the end of the book of Hebrews. There's a benediction given there as he's closing out the book. A prayer, if you will. And contained in that prayer is some information that stands out. He says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through whom the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will according in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, that Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. He wants us to do His good will. But continue on. He said, and I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation. For I've written you in a few words. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you, all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. But it's verse 21 that really stands out, is it not? When he says he makes you complete in every good will, listen to it, to do his will. Working in you what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. Let's not thwart the will and plan of God. He won't force it on you, but he's equipped you with all that you need. A couple of quick verses and then the lesson's yours. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. He tells us with every temptation, He will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear whatever the temptation is that comes your way. You see, He equips you with that. It's a promise. God has prepared you and prepared a way for you. The psalmist said in Psalm 62, in verse 2, He is my only rock and my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be greatly moved. Do you look at God as your defense and your salvation? And then finally, in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, Paul talks about a feeling that we all have when he says, but we have this treasure in earthly vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. For we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. You see, we've been thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So the question this morning is, are we busy about the work that God has for us to do? Are we making Him a reality in our very lives? Are we living for Him? Have we given our lives to Him? You see, there's more to salvation than being baptized into Christ. Yes, that's important. Yes, it's a part of God's plan. There's more than reading the Word. Faith does come by hearing, and yes, you must believe in order to go to heaven. Yes, you must repent, confess His name, and be baptized, and to live the Christian life. But the question is, are you doing what God has set before you to do? Are you avoiding for whatever reason? He's equipped you. He's promised He's equipped you. He's given you everything you need. In fact, He's given you all things that pertain unto salvation. So this morning, if you're outside of the safety of the love of God and you need to be baptized into Christ, or you need to come back as one who's wandered away and need the prayers of the church to God for your strengthening, for your forgiveness, God has already promised that He wants to do that. He's not willing for anybody to be lost. If we can assist you in any way this morning, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?